It's going to be kind of challenging to preach today with that kind of aroma there in the kitchen. And so just bear with us the order, and let's listen to the Word of God this morning. Now, folks, most of us, if not all of us, were warned by our parents not to associate it with some of our neighbor kids because they said they steal or they use foul languages, or they will corrupt you just because of who they are. And I remember I used to go with a friend who loved to use a slingshot. And so we went shooting birds, from a small robin bird to different kind of birds, and from birds to real big birds, chicken. That's the neighbor's chicken. And so from just plain shooting chicken to barbecuing those chickens on Sundays. Oh, that's a big sin back home. To barbecue and to do something on Sunday. That is pretty bad. So some of our folks knew exactly where these kids were, their parents and their grandparents. So they were pretty close to knowing exactly where these kids or who they were. But some of them were good kids. Folks, you probably have similar stories. When your folks reminded you or warned you not to associate with them. Folks, depending on who you are closely associated with, your association with whomever you're associating with might be compromising your walk with God. Some companies are not worth keeping. You know, King Solomon, the wisest and wealthiest man in the Bible, started as an obedient king, but disobeyed God and lost his love for God when he married many foreign wives. And so in today's passage, we will learn how to understand the sign that we are actually falling away from God so we can maintain a healthy relationship with God. So how do we know who to become closely associated with, or to know the signs that we are actually falling away from God? Well, the best place to go is to go to the Bible to guide us. And so please open your Bible to 1 Kings 11, 1 to 13. I will be using the NIV. 1 Kings 11, 1 to 13. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women beside Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after their other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for being our God. We just want to thank you for selecting us to be your children. And I just pray that you will guide us as we study and learn about how we should associate more with you and less with this world. We pray that you bless the message today and everything we do for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, my topic for today is be careful of the company you keep. Understand the sign of an ungodly relationship. Now, King Solomon became king at a very young age, about 20 years old. He was able to demonstrate great courage and leadership after his father David died. He took care of some very severe business to make sure there was peace at home. He actually killed his own brother, his devious brother Adonijah, Abathar, the priest who also conspired with Adonijah, and also they conspired with Joab, his father's commander of the army. Now, after the kingdom was firmly established, then in chapter 3, God granted Solomon his request. And this is what he was telling Solomon. This is for discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. He had great wisdom and built God's temple, his own palace, and great wealth for himself and became the most powerful king in this region. Now, folks, this same wisdom was supposed to expand God's kingdom and image, as we heard from Pastor Dave Owens, became a tool for Solomon to expand his own interests. As part of political and business practice, young princes were used, and valuable metals were used as a down payment to secure a treaty. Now, as Solomon acquired both wealth and women, he lost his close relationship with the Lord. And so in today's passage, we will learn some of these signs of this ungodly relationship with his wives and how we can avoid falling into the same sins. Excuse me. Now, first sign I want us to think about, actually, I have four signs today. The first sign is that Solomon lost his focus and priorities on God. Now, in 1 Kings 11, it states, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign wives. In this passage alone, we can tell that Solomon had lost focus on God. Now, Solomon's focus challenge primarily resulted first that these were foreign wives. These foreign wives included Pharaoh's own daughter from Egypt, they were Moabites, they were Ammonites, they were Edomites, they were Sidonians, and Hittites. They were countries that the Lord has forbidden all of Israel not to marry. Now, another problem that we have here is not just that they're foreign women, there were a lot of them. There were just so many of them, 700 wives, 300 concubines who were mostly from these countries. Now, one translation said it's not just that there were foreign wives, there were strange women from other countries. Now, let's face this. These are just so many of them, 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. And so let's just think about this. Each morning, Solomon put on his royal lay, and he just steps out and just said, you know, I need to see all my wives. Hello, honey. 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 And by the time he's almost finished, it's almost lunchtime. There's just so many of them. And so how can King focus on so many wives? It wasn't he the same guy in Proverbs that says that it is better to be in the corner of a rooftop than to be in the house, same household, of a quarreling wife? That's the same guy. So how could he handle 700 wives and 300 concubines? And one husband and one wife, I think, is pretty enough, right? So how can he handle 700 wives? That is a very big problem. Now, the Old Testament allowed marrying of one wife. It doesn't mean that it's always the best practice, okay? And so we can look as early as Genesis 2:24. What does Genesis 2:24 say? It says here, for this reason, a man must leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, W-I-F-E. And they will become how many flesh? One flesh, not 700 plus 300 more flesh. Yes, it's very hard to do that with one man with different bodies of a woman, women rather. And so that we know that might not be a very good idea. But we also know from the Old Testament that there were problems with more than one wife in practice. Abraham had problem with these two wives, Sarah and who else? And there you go, Agar. They had problem when Ishmael and Isaac, had, you know, Ishmael started to tease Isaac, and Sarah and Agar had problems too. So there was a problem there too. Also with Jacob, Rachel, and Leah, there were problems there too. So even though the Old Testament did not really say too much against more than one wife, we know there were problems there. Now, another problem in terms of Solomon's focus was his idea about love. Now, while it is important to love our wives, and I don't know whatever you use to look for your wives or girlfriend, I don't know, we should look at how he found his wives. Okay? In the book of Solomon's, or Song of Solomon, the way Solomon described the Shulamite woman wasn't the very best way for us to think that that's the best way to find a wife. This is what he said. Your graceful legs are like jewels. Don't you think, folks, that maybe Solomon maybe have that kind of mindset when he went out looking for a wife or wives? And so we know that maybe Solomon wasn't really looking for pure love in seeking wives. Maybe he was looking for something different. He was thinking about love for bodies rather than loving person for a lasting relationship. Okay, another problem that I see is a challenge for Solomon was with these many wives, he lost his image as a mighty king. With many wives and comes problems. You know, Solomon himself said in chapter 8 of 1 Kings that after he completed the temple, he said this, foreigners who are not chosen but come to worship God because of the great temple he has built, that is Solomon, for God's mighty power. And so with these many wives, it's a very bad image for him to be, you know, for these foreigners supposed to come and see the temple. And also, Solomon's current walk with God, yes, he had a problem with these many wives, but if we look at that, in chapter 11, it talks about this problem with these many wives, but actually, he was already disobeying God just before chapter 11 started. How? Well, the Mosaic law already prohibited marrying of more than one wife, so he already he's committing disobedience right there. Okay? And so he also got horses and chariots, which the Lord did not agree that. He disobeyed, I mean, he prohibited getting horses and chariots because the idea is that if you have horses and chariots, and that you might not be, or Solomon and the Israelites will not be depending on God. And so that's a big problem right there. Okay. Now, I want us to look at another problem in terms of his focus. It's actually his priority. Now, later in verse 2, it says here, "Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. Not only Solomon has lost focus on God, he also failed to keep God as his main priority. To maintain a godly image among his people and the rest of the world." In chapter 10, folks, Queen Sheba visited Solomon when she heard about the great palace that he built and the great wisdom that he built. This is what he said. She said, "Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord's listened, because the Lord," and folks, I want you to listen to this, "the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." Solomon failed internally as he disobeyed God, and now is failing internationally to be a great witness for God at this point. But what was his inner soul? What started all this thing is just this, folks, and we can apply that to our lives. It's just pure pride and focus on himself. If anything, Jesse said, if you have to stop the message now, that's it. The reason why we lose focus on God is just pure and simple. It's pride and greed. And in Luke 12:34 and Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart also will be also." Folks, bad company corrupts. Let's not play with that. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, Solomon's lack of focus has led him to have the lack of spiritual growth. In Proverbs 13:20, this is what he also said, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." Now, we have a very wise king, but instead of growing wiser, King Solomon suffers harm as in the company of many foreign wives. Another verse I want us to think about is 1 John 2:15. "Do not love the world or anything in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of the Father comes not from the Father, but from this world." Okay, so folks, as Solomon spent more and more time with these foreign wives or foreign women, he loves them dearly. Then he developed a love for their gods, which resulted in the love for our Jehovah, his Jehovah God. So, folks, you either love this world or love the other gods. And so that's what's going on in chapter 5. King Solomon started preparing for God's temple. Chapter 6, he completed the temple. Chapter 7, built his palace and did the furnishing for the temple. Chapter 8, brought the ark to the temple with great deal of passion for God. Solomon built sacrifices, places for offering. He had a passion and love to serve God and worship God. But he now does his worship half-heartedly or partially for God. Now, folks, do you find yourself not very interested in serving God or lose the passion to pray or even come to church? Or maybe coming to church just for the sake of coming to church. You know, in 1960, British TV ad reads, God's work canceled. God's work canceled. For the lack of interest. There was supposed to be a great Christian gathering, but very few people showed interest. The comment by the Midnight Ministry, which is this thing, responded to this ad stating that people have become complacent in their passion for Christ. Now, even Paul was very disappointed when the Corinthian Christians failed to support him and Barnabas. Are you excited about serving God? Now, not only that he has a passion for this God, he was having an increasing love for them. He has a love for many wives. As Solomon grew old, as the passage said, his wife turns his heart after their gods, and his heart was not devoted to his Lord, as his father David has been. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you and me. If we really seek God with all our hearts, all these things will be added into us or to us. Solomon held these women fast in love. He was glued to them like magnets. Then he participated deeper into their ways and their gods. So his level of commitment has actually been increasing as he spends time with them. First, Solomon engaged in these new gods. He was not just following the wives to their idols. He wasn't following his wives to church. He actually participated by helping them use his gifts. He used to build temples and buildings and structures. Now he's building their temples with his gifts. He was becoming like them. God had provided everything to him. And many times, folks, God has given us gifts that we are using somewhere else. No wonder why we're not growing. No wonder why the churches throughout the world are suffering, because we are spending our skills elsewhere, where other gods are. You know, another problem Solomon had in terms of increasing his level, he actually was exchanging his God with many gods. Remember Jeremiah 2:13? It says, my people have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug up their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold what? Cisterns are supposed to be for holding what? Water. But they're not holding water. It's because they're defective tanks, cisterns. Now, folks, Solomon had lost his passion to worship his true God, as his father was dancing on the street. When they brought the ark, Solomon is now dancing to these temples. They had all these rituals going on. Now, in verse 5, he followed the Astoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Now, in verse 7, in terms of increasing participation, so on a hill of Jerusalem, which appeared to be very close to where he was doing the godly sacrifices before, he built two high places, one for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and one for Molech, the detestable god of the Amorites. Now, worshiping Molech is just this. Worshiping involved prostitution and adulterous acts on these temples. Okay? And Based on historians, I didn't find too much about the god Chemosh, but I found in some historian writings that the Chemosh god was the god of destruction, god of subdue, and warfare. Now, folks, what is our wise king Solomon doing on these temples? What was he doing looking for strength in warfare when he actually had the power of God that they experienced many years before in destroying? Remember when Jehoshaphat needed help, when there was basically over a million who were surrounding Israel. And with some prayers and some dedication, they start killing each other. Not a sword from the Israelite killed any of these enemies. And now our mighty king is dancing to get some might in order to face their enemies or whatever he was doing. So folks, do not dance with the enemy. You already have a mighty God. Now, that was Chemosh and Molech. That's not all. He had burned incenses for other sacrifices, for other gods, for the other wives, some wives at Molech and Chemosh. So these other wives had other sacrifices that Solomon needed to perform as well. Speaking about focus, speaking about decreasing level of commitment to our God. Folks, it is hard for us to imagine that the same king has turned thus so far. He used to sacrifice these bulls, sheep, all these things, and he was sacrificing with all his heart. That's why God gave him wisdom. He saw how much dedicated he was. So folks, he wasn't just marrying this woman. He was marrying their ways. And so his relationship with God went downhill. Now listen to his prayer in chapter 8. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or above or on earth below. You keep your covenant with love with your servant who continues wholeheartedly in your way. At this point, he was in wholeheartedly serving in God's ways. So what happens, folks, when we lose our passion and our interest in worshiping this true God we have? We are being dragged away by our own sin. James 1:13 says that we are dragged into sin by our own ways. God does not tempt us. It is your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. And it's my choice. King Solomon held fast to his wives and their ways. And there comes another problem. Third point. Solomon just lost these godly attitudes and fear of God. In verse 9, God became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, not just once, but twice. And verse 10, although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep God's command. God had warned Solomon twice personally not to marry foreign wives. His mother, Bathsheba, had warned him just before he became a king, or just he became popular, Solomon, don't marry foreign wives. And so if a God of the universe tells you not to do something, if your dear mother and father tells you not to do something, if the Mosaic law tells you not to do something, that means you and I have gone very far. Okay? And so that's where he was at this point. We know of people that they know are doing wrong, and when you approach them, they get mad at you, talking about godly attitude. John used to attend this certain church, not this church, another church, somewhere, and was very dedicated, like just some of us. But one day, he drank a lot of alcohol in this restaurant. Pastor and his wife saw him and kindly reminded him, John, Brother John, it is kind of bad what you're going through. It's a sin. You're sinning. And this is what John did. Instead of accepting this kind pastor and his wife's approach and counsel, he started talking about the pastor and how mean the pastor was. Why was he telling him what not to do? So he stopped coming to his church. He stopped affiliating himself with godly people. And so that is a lesson for us too. Do you know people like John who you try to help and yet they try to get disappointed with you because you're too mean? Of course, there's way of telling people when they're wrong. You don't just say, hey, you're sinning. If you know that person, say it in a very kind way. Say it in a very godly way that they're wrong. Okay? So, how do we know we're doing wrong? How do we know we're affiliating with the wrong crowd? Folks, how do we know? One. Just one. Maybe the Holy Spirit? Maybe the Holy Spirit, huh? I think so. The Holy Spirit will tell you, you're not doing very well, Bedouin. I know that. He told me many times that I'm not doing right. I feel guilty. And if you're not feeling guilty, you have gone very far. So the Holy Spirit will tell you, and also the Holy Spirit will tell other people to tell you. It still starts with the Holy Spirit, or start with God. So how about you? Do you have a good attitude about God when you do something wrong and someone approached you? Maybe I already asked that, but I'm going to ask again. How is your attitude when someone tried to correct you or the Holy Spirit tried to correct you? Solomon again. Sorry, King Solomon, I'm quoting you against you. Solomon wrote Proverbs 28:13-14. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. So that's one sign. If you're sinning and you're hiding it, you're not moving any further than where you're at. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart will fall into trouble. Amen. Now Solomon is the one who wrote this. And he also is the same man who wrote in Ecclesiastes that everything under the sun is meaningless. And also he's the same one in Ecclesiastes toward the end is that everything can be meaningful if you follow God. And so, in terms of you expose your sin, is a good thing. It's the right thing to do. Now, Solomon wasn't wise in choosing 700 wives, 300 concubines, and their gods, which led him and led us to my last point. Solomon lost his witness to his people eternally, like Sheba, Queen Sheba said, eternally, and also the rest of the world. At that time, this is a hyperplea. In other words, it's really the known kingdom at that time. God select people's image and example to the rest of the world is no longer there. Now, the Israelites supposed to be treasured possessions. Wise King Solomon knew God's command in Exodus 19:4, before his time, the Mosaic Law. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wing and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully, and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. Now, although the old earth is mine, God is still speaking, you will be the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's one. Next one is that Israel had a mighty God and a mighty army. Remember when I was saying, what is this wise king doing at this temple seeking some strength when he already has strength in the Lord? Joshua 2:8, I love this. I always think about this, what Rahab told the spies who went to Jericho. I know, Rahab speaking, that the Lord has given this land and a great fear has fallen us so that all of us who live in this land are melting with fear because of you. Solomon started as a wise, wealthy, and as a powerful army. Many recognized their God and attributed Solomon's success to his God, our God. As I was saying, Queen Sheba visited and said that God has blessed you to be a great witness for him and maintain what? You see, they needed Israel to maintain peace. They were helping King Solomon so that there's peace in the land. No more peace because God's representative have sinned so far. Solomon's companions with fools and disobedience have made God's own people to lose their image that they're supposed to have among all these nations. Solomon did look to the left and to the right. He was looking everywhere except God. Folks, where are you looking? What direction are you looking at? Are you looking into God's face? Or are you still looking in all these places? Like that old song, looking for love in all these places. Or you already have a God that you have stopped searching. Solomon wasn't just looking for women. He was looking for something else. He wasn't happy, I think. If he's very happy with the God he has, he wouldn't be looking for these women who led them to other gods. Pride goes before destruction. So we've gone through these 4 points that I have. And so what happens when we've gone thus so far? There's problems when we've gone thus so far. Solomon decided to marry foreign wives, lost his focus. That's all I've been talking about today, losing focus. I have probably said other things, but really it's about focus. He has lost his passion to worship God, lost his godly attitude, and failed to be God's witness, and worst of all, failed to display a sense of confession, a sense that something is wrong. I did not see anything here that says Solomon felt bad. You know, he hasn't done that. He hasn't said it. He knew it's bad. In another book of his, like Ecclesiastes, he said that it's bad, it's meaningless. Now, God says in verse 11 of our reading today, chapter 11, since this is your attitude and you have not kept my covenant and decrees which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom. God said it twice in these verses that he will break up the kingdom, but after Solomon dies. And he did break Israel to north and south. They were taken both to captivity, north and south. Of course, Judah and Benjamin, that tribe, was the one that kind of stick around a little bit longer and later on broken up. The idea, folks, is that there is consequence to every sin we commit. It doesn't matter how we put it, how many flowers we can put in what we did. Some nice roses will not do. Every single sin you and I commit is forgiven if we ask God forgiven. And we became a Christian, they're already given, forgiven, but we already gone through that already not yet process. We have to grow every day through sanctification. But Every single sin, you need to have an answer for it. You and I. And so, a lot of us, like me, we just like to say, oh yes, God forgives me. And so we became very complacent and we don't really deal with the fact that we need to deal with that very one sin. God hates sin. So finally, folks, affiliate yourself more with God and with more godly people. Appreciate God. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Spend time with God in secret and make Him your priority. Are you currently having some kind of affiliation that may be compromising your walk with God and maybe taking away your focus from the true God? Is your workplace a place where God's name is in vain and you're continually having problem at your work and you're not really dealing well with it? Think about your work. Maybe you're at a place you shouldn't be. Are your coworkers affecting your walk with God? Are you currently dating someone that is not a member of God's family? I strongly recommend that you stop that relationship. Dating is to search someone to marry. And if you are a Christian, don't date someone who is not a Christian and hoping that God will change that person so you can be married. In Miss Wanda's book, Wanda Heichner's book, I'm Only Wanda, somewhere there when she was in college in the 1960s, she said this, that her professor, forgot the name, senior, when she was attending the Michigan, University of Michigan, I think, that says that at that time, 1960s, that there's a problem with U.S. or American dating at that time, that sometimes dating, a lot of time, resulted in sexual relationship that involves. It's very hard for someone nowadays, after almost 40-some years, for folks, young men and women, to date without having gone through, crossed the line. It's very unlikely. And so that's why we have to watch ourselves and our young people, their dating lifestyle. Okay? Because God knows everything. Or maybe some of us are married to someone who's not safe. Please don't leave that person. Continue to pray for that person, and we'll pray for you. But that's what I'm going to say it again. If you're dating someone, and maybe you're staying together without getting married, I strongly recommend you don't stay together. Now, folks, some of us can't comprehend how a king so wise as Solomon, and so a lot of us, we would say, 700 wives, 300 girlfriends or concubines, and yet we do that all the time. We sin in our hearts, and we might have committed more than 700 wives or 700 sins or 300 concubines. Because Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, He said, if you look at a woman or a man with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. And what was Solomon doing? Adultery and idolatry. And so we might have committed more. Let's not worry too much about what Solomon did. Let's worry about you and I. And what are we doing every day? A lot of us think that to worship another God has to be really bad. But anything that takes away God in your life has become a priority is your God. So have a 2020 vision for Jesus. The best company that you will ever keep. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for being our God. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to have. So just pray, I'm speaking to myself too, that as we go out, remember that we affiliate with folks that we have to be careful with, and at the same time, we have to talk about you with the people we associate with. And so, Lord, I pray and thank you for being our God, that you selected us, that you've forgiven us, Lord. But I pray that each day we are careful of our lifestyles and how we think about our lives in serving you every day. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. Pray that you'll be with us for the rest of today. In Jesus' name, amen.